Chapter 83. Dismay. The plot demands my utmost energy. Let me pass. Apostrophe, I'll knock you down if you come near the door. Apostrophe, reply to locksmith. You had better go to bed. Apostrophe, Simon made no answer, but gathering himself up as straight as he could, plunged head foremost at his old master, and the two went driving out into the workshop together, plying their hands and feet so briskly that they looked like half a dozen, while Mix and Mrs. Varden screamed for 12. It would have been easy for Varden to knock his old prentice down and bind him hand and foot, but as he was loath to hurt him in his then defenseless state, he contented himself with parrying his blows when he could, taking them in perfect good part when he could not, and keeping between him and the door until a favorable opportunity should present itself for forcing him to retreat upstairs and shutting him up in his own room. But, in the goodness of his heart, he calculated too much upon his adversary's weakness, and forgot that drunken men who have lost the power of walking steadily can often run. Watching his time, Simon Tappertit made a cunning show of falling back, staggered unexpectedly forward, brushed past him, opened the door, he knew the trick of that lock well, and darted down the street like a mad dog. The locksmith paused for a moment in the excess of his astonishment, and then gave chase. It was an excellent season for a run, for at that silent hour the streets were deserted, the air was cool, and the flying figure before him distinctly visible at a great distance, as it sped away, with a long gaunt shadow following at its heels. But the short-winded locksmith had no chance against a man of Sim's youth and spare figure, though the day had been when he could have run him down in no time. The space between them rapidly increased, and as the rays of the rising sun streamed upon Simon in the act of turning a distant corner, Gabriel Varden was fain to give up and sit down on a doorstep to fetch his breath. Simon, meanwhile, without once stopping, fled at the same degree of swiftness to the boot, where, as he well knew, some of his company were lying, and at which respectable hostelry, for he had already acquired the distinction of being in great peril of the law, a friendly watch had been expecting him all night, and was even now on the lookout for his coming. "Go thy ways, Sim, go thy ways," apostrophe said the locksmith, as soon as he could speak. "I have done my best for thee, poor lad, and would have saved thee, but the rope is round thy neck, I fear." Apostrophe, so saying, and shaking his head in a very sorrowful and disconsolate manner, he turned back, and soon re-entered his own house, where Mrs. Varden and the faithful Mix had been anxiously expecting his return. Now Mrs. Varden, and by consequence Miss Mix likewise, was impressed with a secret misgiving that she had done wrong, that she had, to the utmost of her small means, aided and abetted the growth of disturbances, the end of which it was impossible to foresee, that she had led remotely to the scene which had just passed, and that the locksmith's time for triumph and reproach had now arrived indeed. And so strongly did Mrs. Varden feel this, and so crestfallen was she in consequence, that while her husband was pursuing their lost journeyman, she secreted under her chair the little red-brick dwelling house with the yellow roof, lest it should furnish new occasion for reference to the painful theme, and now hid the same still more, with the skirts of her dress. But it happened that the locksmith had been thinking of this very article on his way home, and that, coming into the room, and not seeing it, he at once demanded where it was. Mrs. Varden had no resource but to produce it, which she did with many tears, and broken protestations, that if she could have known, "Yes, yes," apostrophe said Varden, "of course I know that. I don't mean to reproach you, my dear. But recollect from this time, that all good things perverted to evil purposes, are worse than those which are naturally bad. A thoroughly wicked woman is wicked indeed. When religion goes wrong, she is very wrong, for the same reason. Let us say no more about it, my dear." Apostrophe, so he dropped the red brick dwelling house on the floor, and setting his heel upon it, crushed it in two pieces. the halfpence, and sixpences, and other voluntary contributions, rolled about in all directions, but nobody offered to touch them, or to take them up. That, apostrophe said the locksmith, is easily disposed of, and I would to heaven, that everything growing out of the same society, could be settled as easily. Apostrophe, it happens very fortunately, Varden, apostrophe said his wife, with her handkerchief to her eyes, that in case any more disturbances should happen, which I hope not, I sincerely hope not, apostrophe, I hope so too, my dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, that in case any should occur, we have the piece of paper which that poor misguided young man brought. Apostrophe, a, to be sure, apostrophe said the locksmith, turning quickly round. Where is that piece of paper? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Varden stood aghast as he took it from her outstretched hand, tore it in two fragments, and threw them under the grate. Not use it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she said. Use it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the locksmith. No. Let them come, and pull the roof about our ears. Let them burn us out of house and home. I'd neither have the protection of their leader, nor chalk their owl upon my door, though, for not doing it, they shot me on my own threshold. Use it. Let them come, and do their worst. The first man who crosses my doorstep on such an errand as theirs, had better be 100 miles away. Let them look to it. The others may have their will. I wouldn't beg or buy them off, if, instead of every pound of iron in the place, there was 100 weight of gold. Get you to bed, Martha. I shall take down the shutters, and go to work. Apostrophe, so early. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said his wife. A, apostrophe, replied the locksmith cheerily, so early. Come when they may, they shall not find us skulking and hiding, as if we feared to take our portion of the light of day, and left it all to them. So pleasant dreams to you, my dear, and cheerful sleep. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with that he gave his wife a hearty kiss, and bade her delay no longer, or it would be time to rise, before she lay down to rest. Mrs. Varden quite amiably and meekly walked upstairs, followed by Mix, who, although a good deal subdued, could not refrain from sundry stimulative coughs and sniffs by the way, or from holding up her hands in astonishment at the daring conduct of Master. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.